thinking the greatest challenge, I think, for you all right now is one word, and that's called focus. This part of the semester, when I was a college student, was the most difficult time of year for me to stay focused. You know, I played soccer, so soccer season was done, okay? I wasn't a basketball player, so I wasn't interested in that. And so my whole thoughts were getting home. I just want to get home for Christmas. It's something about the Christmas season. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And just want to get home and be with my family. Just the house smells different at Christmas time. And the spirit is there and everybody's excited. And just need that break and just could not wait to get back. And as a result of that, some of my most, roughest final exams came before leaving for Christmas break. And it was because my focus wasn't where it needed to be. But you know, many times in life that doesn't change. Whether it's getting ready to go home for Christmas, or whether it's just what God has asked us to do where He has us. Sometimes it's very difficult to stay focused. And sometimes we are focused on the wrong things. And we're not focused on the things that we should be. We're focused on the things that we want to be focused upon. Last night, I was sitting on the couch and I had my laptop out. And I was going through and making our order for Kroger. This online ordering from Kroger and just go pick it up is wonderful. And so we don't have to go to the grocery store anymore. I go right on my laptop and I go and I pick it up. And so I'm going through and I see that Xbox, now some of you guys are listening, Xbox Gold, okay, their card is $25, but you get $10 back when you buy the card. And I just bought a card for my boys 3 days prior. And so I'm going through and I see that and I say to my wife, my children are downstairs. My boys are actually downstairs playing Xbox. Okay, we have a split level home. They're totally out of voice. And I said, I can't believe it. I just bought that gift card for the boys so they could be on Xbox Live. And now it's on sale and it's $10 back and we don't need another one for 3 months. And my son from down in the basement says, but Dad, you can get it for the next 3 months. Now, we have yelled at him many times from upstairs, and he has never heard us. How in the world did he hear that? And I looked at my wife. I said, did he honestly just hear me say that? And she's like, unbelievable. And I said, Coleman, did you hear what I just said? No response. Coleman, he's a sixth grader. Coleman, did you hear what I just said? What'd you say, Dad? Okay. His focus. When I said Xbox, what happened to his ears? Pew, focus went on, right? Then when I said, Coleman, did you hear what I said? What, Dad? He wasn't listening. And so this morning, I want to talk about that word focus. Okay, I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you where you are to stay focused. Thinking about your theme for the year, I hope the passage ties in with that as well, as just the Lord has laid this on my heart to challenge you with it this morning. Paul says this in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him. And I'm sorry, I didn't have you turn there, but you might still be there from the verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means that I attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may have apprehended that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So as we think about moving forward, as we think about our focus situation, as you think about what God has called you to do, as we heard some of those prayer requests, sometimes situations in life take our minds to wander places where they shouldn't necessarily have to go because we know that the Lord's in control. But how do we stay focused? Well, the first thing I want to do this morning is to reevaluate our purpose. Then from reevaluating our purpose, we're going to develop a course of action that we'll call a plan. And then from there, we're going to pursue that plan with all our might. And so the purpose of our lives here on earth, what is your purpose? Why does God have you here right now? I was watching a documentary not too long ago on a set of races called the Barkley Marathons. If you like to run, you need to look it up. The Barkley Marathons are the hardest, it's the hardest, toughest race in the world. Okay? It's not known by too many people. It's ran through the mountains of Tennessee. But it's just not one marathon, it's five marathons. The runners have up to 60 hours to finish this race. And it's made up of five loops. Each loop's approximately 20 to 25 miles. And it's through the woods, it's through the briars, it's uphills, it's downhills. And one of the runners that was on that documentary was talking about his purpose in life. And he said growing up, his father's purpose was to retire and travel the world. And so their whole life was about putting money back and saving money and saving money. Because what they wanted to do with life was simply to retire and just see all the world around them. So they spent all their energy and all their efforts putting all that money back so their whole purpose in life could be fulfilled as they traveled the world. And then he said this, my father died 1 year before his retirement date. So everything that they had lived for, their whole purpose in life was gone. Now what? And that young man said, I had to reevaluate everything in my life because I was pursuing the same goals. And that helped me to look and see, was I really fulfilling my purpose here upon the earth? So as I ask you all this morning, what is your purpose? If you were to write on a note card for me today, a one-question quiz, that'd be all right. Give me your purpose on the earth, what would you say? I think many of us would say it's to glorify God. My purpose on earth is to bring glory to God. I would agree with that. But my next question would be this, what does that mean? All of us say, well, I want to glorify God. And well, our purpose here is to glorify God with my life. But how do I glorify God? As we look at what Paul's talking about, verse 14, he's saying, I press forward. Many times in the life of Paul, you'll see him using illustrations of a boxer, using illustrations of running. I enjoy running, so I like to use those illustrations. And so if we consider Paul now being in this race, and he's pressing forward on this race, and he's agonizing, and there's the finish line, and he's giving it everything he has to glorify God in this race, let's think about that race. As a man competes or a woman competes for a race, everything they do building up to that race is revolved around the race. Their sleep, okay, their eating habits. I do not recommend going out and having a large Papa John's pizza the night before your race, okay? We gear things and we live our lives for this race. So when I'm training for a marathon, okay, I have 18 weeks of training. And in 18 weeks, I run every single day of the week up to 50, 60, 75 miles a week in preparation for a marathon. And so for 18 weeks, my calendar says run, 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 run. Every day, I'm going to get up and I'm going to run. Tuesdays, I'm going to be on the track and doing speed work. On Thursdays, I'm going to be hitting hills. On Saturdays, it's my long run, so I'm going to be running up to 20 miles 3 to 4 times in that 18-week period, prepping for this marathon. So my whole life is geared towards this. I can't skip that run. My eating is geared towards that. I'm drinking tons of water because I'm losing lots of water. I'm trying to put on the calories I need to keep that pace up so I can eventually reach the goal of running that marathon at the end of the 18 weeks. So as I think of my ultimate purpose of glorifying God, then my whole life must be geared towards that. That makes sense? Okay. And so if I'm going to glorify God with my life, then every avenue of my life that I participate in takes glory to God. You see, what we tend to do is we put God glory. We have the God glory box. Okay. So there's my God glory box as a student. And so my God glory box might be, you know, the memorizing the verses for this class. My God glory box might be getting that A in Doc Anderson's class so he sees how smart I am. My God glory box will be going home this Christmas and preaching to my youth group, right? But then I have my personal box, okay? And I do all these things and everybody just pats me on the back and thinks I'm wonderful because of what I do or how smart I am. But yet there's this other part of my life that I have over here. And this is the part of my life that really nobody even knows about. Okay, this is the part of my life that maybe is in my thought compartment. Maybe it's behind closed doors. Okay, maybe it's just in this relationship that I'm in with somebody back home that nobody really knows about. And if we are going to glorify God, listen, I can't have two separate boxes, students. And so not only do I glorify God here, I've got to take whatever is going on in my personal life here and get it over to there. And so whatever it is that I am doing, wherever it is that I am going, everything affects this race. Everything affects bringing honor and glory to God. So I've got to combine them. Having two separate compartments doesn't work. And the Lord's not pleased with that. He says, I would rather you were hot or cold. Okay, not lukewarm right in the middle. And so your purpose, yes, is to glorify God. But your purpose number two, students, as I think about you sitting here, is in verse 10, that I may know Christ. Number two is to grow in Christ. You are so busy right now. How many of you have, you came back from Thanksgiving, you got projects that are due? Who's got projects? Oh my goodness. You teachers are so mean, giving these poor kids projects. How many have more than one project? Wow. Wow. Good. It's good for you. We are so busy. You are so busy. You have so many things going on. You might have sports going on in the midst of this. You've got your projects going on. You're studying for exams. You have quizzes on top of that and verses on top of that. You have the things that are going on back home. Some of you are working off campus. You're trying to keep a relationship going. And we tend to lose focus, not only on glorifying God, but we tend to lose a focus when it comes to growing in Christ. Paul's desire. I mean, here's a man that wrote the whole New Testament, right? Just about. Here's a man that spent more time with God than anybody. Here's a man who saw things that he said, I'm not even allowed to tell anybody what I've seen. And he says, my desire, my focus, my goal, verse 10, is I may know him, to grow in Christ. And now is the time. Okay, now is the time at 18 to 25 years old to establish this pattern in your life to grow in Christ. You say, man, Pastor Traeger, I'm so busy. I've got so much going on. I'm in Bible class every day anyway, and we have our devotion time. You know, I get a couple verses before chapel. I kind of pray right there, and that's my time with Jesus. That doesn't cut it. You need to be taking time every day to get to know Christ. You need to be taking time every day to spend in the Word that you may know Him. Because I'm going to tell you something, you're just going to get busier. One day, guys, you're going to go into a ministry and you think, man, I get in that ministry, I'm going to be Martin Luther at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be on my knees in prayer. Yeah, that sounds good until you're at the hospital till 1 a.m. that morning. And ladies, man, when I get married, I'm going to be the spiritual leader house. I'm going to get up and I'm going to read my Bible every morning. That's fine until the screaming baby keeps you up all night. And see, now is the time. Now is the time to establish those patterns in your life that you can keep with you. Now is the time to spend time with the Lord. Now is the time to carve time out of your schedule to get to know Christ, to get to know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. Now is the time to set that time aside, to get into the Word of God, to pray and to ask the Lord. You know, I remember that announcement being made when I was sitting in your seat. And I remember, man, I needed some money. And getting on my knees and praying and saying, Lord, listen, you know my need. You know what I owe. And I'm just going to have to trust you for it. And I remember it was that spring. I went to the Lord. I decided I was going to tell the Lord three times. I was going to be like the Apostle Paul. Paul went to the Lord three times. God, three times I'm going to come to you with this. And I did three times. And I remember we had a business office. And I walked down to the business office. And I pulled my wallet out. And I pulled out my student ID. And we had our student IDs. And we could scan them on a computer. And it brought up what our bill was. Okay? If you owed, it was in the red. And if you were in the credit, you were in the green. I was always in the red. And so I walked in, and I wanted to see what I owed. It was the end of spring semester, and I scanned my card, and it showed up in the green. I'm like, that's not right. So I clear it all out. I scan my card again. It's in the green. Something's wrong. This is somebody else's account. So I delete it. I go back again. It shows it in the green again. So I went to the lady in the business office. I said, something's wrong with my account. And she's like, what's wrong? I said, it keeps saying that I've got a credit, but I know I don't have a credit. I said, I owe at least $1,000 on this bill before I take my final exam. She said, let me see. And she went back, came back out, and she said, no, we made a mistake on your account when you first came to the school, and you have a $1,000 credit, and we just caught it, and we just added it to your account. Okay, who can do that? God does. Because I can tell you what, most Christian colleges do not enjoy giving money away, nor do they have it to do so. But God saw fit to answer that prayer. And those are times that I'll never forget, but those are times when I was your age. Those are times where I had no one else to go to. Those were times that I learned to pray and to grow in Christ. And you guys need to take that time. You need to glorify the Lord. That's your purpose. You need to grow in Christ. That's your purpose. Number three, I have your purpose here is to glean from your circumstances. To glean from your circumstances. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And notice what he says. We'd like to skip this part. The fellowship of his suffering. You know, I know it's not just grown-ups, okay, that go through suffering. Many of you right now are going through hardships. Many of you right now are facing things that nobody else knows. Many of you can look back on your past and your past is still haunting you. Things have happened, abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse. And you still carry those shadows with you even today. And trying to balance serving the Lord and trying to balance college and having these things back in your mind and continuing coming up, it's not easy, all right? But here's the deal. Even if I have found myself as a victim, there's victory in Christ, okay? But if I continue to feel that I'm a victim, I can never find victory. And so what you've got to do, students, is you've got to find that victory that only comes from Christ. God is sovereign. Okay, he knew the family he put you in. He knew the circumstances that were involved when that incident happened. Okay, he knows what's going on in the Ukraine and Russia right now. God's in control. God is sovereign. And you can be victorious. The only victim that we are is we're a victim of the sovereignty of God. That's not so bad. And God can take these things in our lives and we can find that fellowship with him and fellowship through that suffering and we can glean from these circumstances. Maybe it's a relationship that's just going awry. Again, maybe it's something that happened at home. Maybe mom and dad are looking at a divorce, whatever it is. We can glean from that. Number four, as I must stay focused and look at my purpose here on earth, this is even more practical. I've just got to get through the next class. Get through the next class. Because here's the tendency. I just want to graduate. Do I have any seniors here? Let me see my seniors. Oh, some man, your hand went up really fast, okay? You're excited. Let me see your seniors. Put your hands up. Let me see you. Okay. All right, awesome. Here's the deal. You want to be done, right? Give me that 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that I can hang up on my wall and let me be done. Okay, I just want to graduate. Some of you freshmen are thinking the same thing. I just want to be done. You know, that's good, but you got to get through the next class, right? Okay, and we're many times thinking future and we're missing what God has got for us right in front of us. And I am very futuristic, okay? I'm very visionary. I'm always 1 year ahead. I've got to stop literally and think and sometimes look at my phone to see what year it is because I'm always a year or two ahead of my brain. Okay, that's a curse. It's a blessing in some ways, but it's a curse in others because I fail to enjoy the things around me. And my kids are growing up and there were certain periods of their lives that I don't even remember, students, because I was so caught up on what's coming next that I wasn't focused on the next class. And you need to focus on that next class. Okay, you need to focus on that final. You need to focus on what's coming up. You need to focus on what God has called you to do, and that is to be a student. All right, so that's your purpose. Number two, we must develop a plan. So what's my plan? All right, Pastor Jake, you've given me this purpose to glorify God and get through the next class, but how do I develop a plan? The first part of your plan is to do this. Forget that which is behind. Notice again what Paul says. Okay, I forget that which is behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. This one thing I do. So I've got to put that behind me. What do I got to put behind me? Okay, maybe I've got to put some past sin behind me. We all have our skeletons in our closets. Okay, maybe some of you come from a background where you've just recently gotten saved. And you're not necessarily proud of your past. Maybe some of you, 16, 17, 18 years old, man, you sowed those wild oats. You were a typical high schooler, okay, before the Lord got a hold of your heart and things started to turn around. And you have some of that past sin that's there. Right? You've got to put that behind you. Even David in Psalm 25. He makes a statement. He says, God, please remember not the sins of my youth. If I were to ask you right now to tell me all the sins of David's youth, you wouldn't be able to do it because the Bible doesn't tell us there's any. But yet he remembers some sins he had in his youth. And those sins were coming back to bother him. Okay, if we're going to go forward for God and we're going to develop this plan to do what God has called us to do, we've got to put that past sin behind us. We've got to put past failures behind us. Okay, yeah. No, maybe literature didn't go so well last semester, right? Maybe biblical languages is not my thing. But you know what? We've got to put that behind. Maybe this has just been a tough semester altogether. Okay, if anything was going to go wrong, it went wrong. You can put that behind you. I've got to put that past behind. I've got to put those past failures behind. I can't allow these things to be holding me back because that's exactly what the devil wants to do. Okay, he wants to bring these things up and bring these things up. And as soon as you try to get things right, and as soon as you sit down to pray, and as soon as you sit down to read your Bible, as soon as you determine to get to know him and the power of his resurrection, bam, the devil's going to nail you. That past is going to come up. Those failures are going to come up. Why am I even trying? Why am I even here? What's even the point? Man, I'll never be able to be a school teacher. I'll never make a pastor. I'll never make it on the mission field because of who I was. And Paul says, listen, it doesn't matter what you were. It doesn't matter the failures you made. We've got to put that behind us. Okay, I can't reach forward if I'm continually being pulled behind. If something's continually holding my shirt tail back, I'll never be able to climb the stairs. And so we've got to develop that plan and we've got to forget that which is behind, okay? Then we've got to focus on the present. So as you students are looking, finishing out this semester, okay, you've got 19, 20-something days and you're done. 3 weeks, that's not a lot of time. Go in these next 3 weeks, I've got to figure out, okay, this is how much time I've got to spend studying. This is how much time I'm going to have to spend on this paper. I can't be just sitting in my room flipping brainlessly through my phone, okay, for 2 hours today. I've got to focus on the task at hand. I've got to get the books out and I've got to do this paper. I've got to get the books out and I've got to study for this test. And then while I'm at it, I'm going to set up a plan for next semester because it's right around the corner. And I'm not going to let happen next semester what happened this semester. Okay, I'm going to put some things in order and I'm going to put everything in a row and I'm going to make sure that I come in prepared for what's coming. So I'm going to put that past behind me and I'm going to focus on the future. And then I'm going to, number three, pursue it with all my strength. One thing I'm going to do, Paul says, this is it. This is the one thing I'm going to do. Okay, so I'm going to come in and I'm going to focus on this one thing and I'm going to achieve this one thing. What's the one thing? What's this one thing that I'm going to do? I'm going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This one thing I'm going to do is what God has called me to do. Okay? You say, but Pastor Trey, God's called me to be a pastor. God's called me to be evangelist, but you have no idea what's in store, students, in the future. I did not take one youth ministry class when I was in college. Okay, I was a pastoral ministries major. I did not take one youth ministry class. I was not going to be a youth pastor. I wasn't going to mess around with teenagers. What a waste. I was going to be a pastor, bless God. You know how long it took for that to happen after graduation? 16 years. 16 years. Guess what I did for 16 years? I was a youth pastor, right? That wasn't my plan. That wasn't what I wanted to do. But God told me and God showed me that I was such a mess, it was going to take 16 years before I was ready to pastor. And so I can think all these things and I can think, man, that's what I'm going to do and that's where I'm going to be and I don't need this class because I'm never going to use it in the future. You have no idea how God's going to use that in your life in the future. Okay? So you've got to focus on what God has called you to do, and he's called you to be a student at Appalachian Bible College. That's what he's called you to do. Okay? Yes, maybe one day you will be a pastor, but it might be 18 years down the road, fellas. Maybe he's called you to be a missionary and you're going to get your support in a year. And 5 years later, you're still in a minivan. We don't know. But what you do know is what God's called you to do right now, and that's to be a student. And so as that student, you need to focus on that. You need to press toward to be the best student at Appalachian Bible College you can be. Okay? To do the best on those papers, to do those studies, to do everything that God has called you to do and enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy this aspect of being a student. Enjoy what God has for you. Enjoy the hills around you. Enjoy the friends that you're developing now. You're never going to have a chance like this again in your lives. So, as you look at the rest of this semester, seniors, as you look at the rest of your year, I ask you these questions. What's your purpose? Develop a plan and then pursue it with all your might. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.